This evening, I am here with Melissa Rivera. Melissa is a change management consultant for LuxQuest Media, but I hear that you are doing a rebrand. Can you tell me a little bit about what that's about?
Thank you, Mandy. Yes, it's exciting for our company because what we're doing now is we're moving away from the space of marketing and focusing more on storytelling, on being able to create stories and share stories of individuals that are making an impact in our community, and in particular, women, because there's so many stories out there that are not being told. And, I would like to be able to contribute a voice in that area because there's a lot of stories to be told about women that are being leaders.
What does a change management consultant do in that area?
So my background in the nonprofit space in DC over the last 10 years has been specifically focused on development and digital strategy and communications. And now what I'm focused on now with my consulting work is being able to work with leaders in different organizations and helping them manage culture change. As you can see, you know, every day we're dealing with some new challenges, particularly as it relates to women in leadership positions. So I'll come in and I'll do consulting work with specific leaders that are being developed, or even, for example, a CEO or an executive director that needs some guidance in order to implement new policies and guidelines and even develop programs that engage new leadership, right? There's such a shift happening in our culture. And I basically come in and help manage that change.
What are some ways that you help manage the change? How do you do that?
So, for example, let's say we've got a board that knows that they need to implement new technological strategies to stay relevant, not only to stay relevant, but to stay competitive. I come in and engage these board members and I teach them the technology that is best suited for their organization, best platforms that they can use. And then because my background is in psychology, I also work, you know, I always say that, you know, we can implement new technology to help us do our work within an organizational structure, but we also have to upgrade our thinking. And I also do that work with board members, executive directors to help them shift and manage change within their own mindset, how they're approaching new innovation, new ideas, and in culture change. And that requires change on that level, on the psychological level as well. So it's two-part, engaging them in new technology and also helping them, you know, work with their mindset in working with the new technology and changing culture.
That's really interesting. So you help them change their mindset. Like, is there a lot of educational background behind that? Like trying to teach them, this is what's out here, this is what's happening. And it's kind of like getting them to see and switch.
That's such a great point. Fundamentally, I am playing in an educator role. I mean, I am in that role, teaching them and guiding them. And more than anything, just guiding them, because I think people, you know, the individuals that I work with, they've got the ability to take new information and see the value in it and adapt to it quickly and make the change that needs to happen. My role is being able to present that information in a way that best suits my specific audience.
Okay, so when you say you're managing culture change, what kind of culture is it that you're talking about?
You know, when we talk about culture, especially what's happening in today's reality and the shifts that our current business reality is undergoing, and you know, my background's in the nonprofit space, but essentially nonprofits are a business, right, with highly altruistic businesses. But change in the way we're engaging not only those that are part of our organization, right, this organism, an organization is sort of this organism, right, we all are depending on each other to function well, but also our stakeholders. So culture change fundamentally, it boils down to how we're managing and engaging each other as individuals, our differences and how we're alike and how we can best work together and have that sort of mental flexibility to be able to engage change. Because I always say those organizations that adapt, that are highly adaptable, to changes that are occurring. You know, we know that technology is disrupting all industries. The organizations that are the most adaptable are the ones that are going to stay the most relevant. So again, as I mentioned earlier, I bring both the mindset change and also the technological platform. So it's two in one. It needs to happen congruently. So my main focus, you know, I did research in Georgetown over the last year. My specific focus, because my background's in psychology, and I'm also a yoga teacher, and I've been meditating for about 15 years. You know, my research was focused specifically on mindful leadership. And so, you know, I did a pilot at Georgetown. And because I come from the nonprofit space, I focused on what I knew, both personally and what I felt sort of a calling to focus on. So I focused on emerging millennial, multicultural millennial leaders that are females, because, you know, I saw a need in that space. I saw that there wasn't really a sort of a succession plan left for emerging multicultural female leaders in that space. There was a gap of about 640,000 leaders that needed to be developed based on my research and what I've read in the Stanford Social Innovation Review, that there's a need in that space. And so that's what I focused on in that specific community.
Awesome. Okay, so I also have the question, what does it mean to promote a culture of wellness?
That's such a great question. And I think that specifically now promoting a culture of wellness means it's this holistic approach to wellness. We all hear about we all need to exercise a little more. And now with this whole mindfulness movement, you know, taking time to be present, self-care and self-compassion. A culture of wellness is basically an approach to life and to work and to self-care. So if you are sort of embodying this wellness mindset, you can bring this to the place that you work. And if the organization that you're part of, if the leadership has buy-in and understands the value, and there's tons of research that talks about individuals that are better cared for, that have the best employee wellness programs, are the organizations that are yielding the highest profit. So a culture of wellness basically means an organization being able to promote an atmosphere of wellness, mind, body, and spirit, and in embracing that. And in doing that, making that sort of the norm. Because right now, that even that concept, culture of wellness, it's disruptive because no one's really talking about it. But fundamentally, it is about self-care, and it is about in that process and supporting your employees and in that whole mindset of wellness, you are yielding a higher return on your investment. You have less sick days. You have more productive employees, more engaged, higher retention. And all around, it's wellness. It's wellness for the individuals, and it's wellness for the bottom line.
So what are like some specific ways that like a workplace or like an atmosphere can encourage cultures of wellness? Like what are some specific ways, like making people take yoga breaks? Like, is that kind of what you're saying?
You know, I believe in the whole systems approach. And for me, you start off with really good data. So you go into an organization and you do some assessments and you get some feedback and you sort of get a lay of the land. Where are people at? What are the greatest challenges? Because every organization is different. And, you know, based on that data, you're able to say, okay, here are some areas of growth. We've got a high level of low motivation, low retention. You've got high turnover here. You know, we sort of go in as a doctor and sort of diagnose the reality of the culture. And then based on that data, you say, okay, here are some areas of growth. And then from there, you create a program specific to that organization and to those individuals. Let's say a CEO wants to develop their high-level leaders. There's some areas of growth there. We do an assessment. And based on that assessment, we can tailor a specific program that targets the areas of need. And then we do a post-assessment as well. So it depends on the organization. It could vary. It depends, you know, what the needs are with specific individuals in any particular area. we've got systems in place where they can sort of measure how much time are they spending on a specific project, how much time are they spending on self-care and sleep, and when they're traveling, how are they managing their time? And just, it just really depends on what the needs are specifically. So it'll range. But we do try to really make it very tailored, specific to individuals as well. So we've got the diagnosis for the entire, for example, for a group, but within that, we look at what the individual needs are as well.
I'm sure everybody knows by now that I'm interviewing you as part of the Tech the Halls series that we're doing to promote the upcoming event in DC. Tell me what some ways as the group promotes a culture of wellness.
Well, one of the main things that, you know, I brought to the space was being able to just have an awareness more than anything. I'm mindful not to address a culture directly, but more than anything, I ask questions. You know, how can we improve the way that things are moving forward, that things are being developed and managed? And with specifically with Tech the Halls, because it's the holiday season and everyone, as we know, towards the end of the year, everyone's sort of doing a self-assessment, right? And we start off the new year with, okay, I'm doing this workout routine, I'm starting my new diet. And that's just sort of the trend that happens, you know, with everyone, you know, starting off the new year. And we thought with Tech the Halls, it would be really great to sort of bring that to the forefront, the whole idea of culture of wellness and self-care, and just make people more cognizant of that, and how are some ways that not only we're caring for ourselves, but we're caring for our community. And in the tech space in particular, we spend so much time in front of a computer, and there's tons of research that talks about, you know, the negative effects of that. So I thought it was really important to engage this community, you know, in that respect as well, because especially women in tech, we're givers by default. You know, that's just our wiring as women. And then we're involved in this field, in this sector where it requires so much out of us in being engaged with technology, which normally isn't an arena that really promotes self-nurturing, right? And so within that dichotomy, I saw an opportunity to engage in a conversation on wellness. So we thought Tech the Halls would be great, you know, promoting the gift of wellness, if you will, for the holiday season.
That's awesome. Well, Melissa, I will leave you with one final question. So if I wanted to make sure that I am well and I am taking care of myself over the holiday season and beyond, like, what are just like a few simple things you would recommend that I could do to keep myself healthy and well and mindful and happy?
Three things. I always start with the basics, and that's nutrition. I think that if you're putting the basics into your body will thank you by performing. And a lot of times, I mean, we're notorious. We'll go a whole day without eating, and then we'll eat carbs at the end of the night. So basic nutrition, really look into, you know, what are the foods that really make you feel good? I always say that the greener and the more colorful the food, the better. So nutrition is your foundation. Number two is sleep. And I know this is a tough one. I know we all have challenges with this, but figure out what works best. Like on my phone, I actually set up an app that measures the amount of sleep I'm getting and the quality of it. And I'm sort of keeping track of that because it's so important to be, you know, well rested. Again, there's tons of data that talks about the effects of lack of sleep that has on your brain and your body and in your whole, the quality of life. And the third would be some kind of either, you know, physical activity, whether it's yoga or meditation or spending time out in, you know, in the park and nature and just being present, whatever it is, whether you are, you know, at a SoulCycle class or sitting down and doing meditation or you're going to the park with your kids, whatever it is, just getting into the habit of really being fully present in the moment. Those three things.
That's amazing advice. I know I need to do all of those things.
We're all works in progress. And that's the beauty, right? There's no judgment. We're just like every day, we're all trying to do the best that we can. And that's great, you know, and that's what it's about.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Melissa.
Thank you, Mandy. I appreciate your time. I really do. Thank you.